I tell you what, if you'll put that out, you'll feel better about it. Here we go. If you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you find, you'll sure be left behind, while I go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Felt better, didn't it? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, what was it? Oh, turn to page 306. 306. We're going to sing the third verse again. You can stay seated if you'll bounce in the seat. And let's sing this one, okay? If you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you find, you'll sure be left behind while I go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm going to sing it to me. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. Until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Wow. That was good, John. Oh, man, I tell you what, you all did a good job on that. Thank you. Yeah. John knows how to say it, doesn't he? Yeah, I guess. Okay, are y'all in Habakkuk? Yeah. If you are, you're in the wrong book. Okay. We're going to finish up. I guess we ought to do Jack a favor tonight and take up the offering. Chris, would you do that? And I've got to put my Sunday morning check in too. Okay, we're going to take prayer requests right now before Chris takes up the offering. And we do have some folks we need to continue to remember in our congregation. Tracy would have been here tonight, but she's not doing well this evening, so remember her. And remember Nick Coldball's little girl. She's having some problems right now, and he asked for prayer for that little thing. I hate it when children are sick. Boy, I tell you. I mean, us adults, we can kind of put up with it, but little children, they just don't know how to handle it. Anybody else have a prayer request?
I talked to Buddy today, Buddy Hubbard, and Kathy's having a hard time with rehab. And she's been a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told them
don't forget to pray for Kathy. She is having a tough time with rehab. Yes. Helen. Yes. They suspect. Okay. Well, you're on God's side, Jack. You know that. Yeah. You're on the winning side, buddy. Anybody else? Yeah. Well, yeah. Yes, Jesse. Okay. Don't forget that. Connie? Okay. Let's always remember those that are not able to be here all the time. And they want to be here. I know Marie loves to be here. Yes. Oh, good. Brenda called me and told me she got a good report and that, and we had appointments at the same time. I was doing labs, and was that what you were doing? I was doing labs, and I got a report back that mine was perfect, too. They say I've got another 20 years. And I'm sure my kids love to hear that. Anyone else? That's a prayer request. Yeah, that's a big one. Sandy? Okay. We could all raise our hands on families, couldn't we? Yes. Stacy? Okay, yeah. And don't forget David Seals. I mentioned him Sunday, and I'll mention him now, and y'all mention him again this coming Sunday when you meet. Please remember David Seals. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah. Jimmy said, yeah. Yeah, I'd talked to Angie. She's a doll. Anybody else? Hey, we give God the praise when we ask for prayer for somebody who's having a difficult time, and we see the victory in that. We need to give God the praise, and it can't be silent. I've never praised silently. Well, I could have, but I think it deserves a little bit of noise, you know. Anybody else? Okay. We got a whole boatload of requests tonight. We do. Now, let's pray. Les, would you bless this offering and remember these prayer requests? Amen.
My
Thanksgiving's not too far away. When it comes Thanksgiving, give thanks for Chris.
Yes, sir, amen.
That's a good one. Okay, we've decided to meet 15 minutes earlier next week for Wednesday night prayer service so that we can sing some more together. Y'all were getting into that, and so we might just do that. Might get some Patty do a solo. Okay, if you will turn to Haggai, look at verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. If you remember last week in verse 2, that's the only 1 and 2 is the only two verses we covered. The people said, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Not time for it yet. That's what they said. Don't need to get in big rush now. Not time for it. It's okay. Got plenty of time to do that. That's what they said. Well, in verse 3, the Lord has an answer for them. And isn't it wonderful how the Lord answers? And here's what he said through his prophet, old Haggai. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you? Don't you love the way the Lord gets their attention? They said, oh, it's not time to build the house of the Lord. And he said, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your cilled houses, and this house lie waste? Is that what time it is? See, what he's saying is they have determined that. He knew that. They had determined we're in our own little world, and we're going to do what we do. See, what had happened here, they had come back from captivity and jumped right on the temple, those that came back. There were a number of people who never came back, remember? I think maybe 50,000 maybe might have been all that came back. A lot of people stayed there because they kind of got into that big city living. They loved McDonald's on every corner. They just loved the convenience and everything of having everything right in arm's reach, and they just stayed. Didn't matter that the enemy that was the enemy who had captured them and put them in captivity. That didn't bother them. Because now the enemy is using them for their own good. They now become the garbage pickup people. That's all they wanted to do, you know. They just wanted them to sweep the streets and take care of things, and they were happy to do that because they were taken care of. They got all kinds of benefits from the Babylonian government. So they stayed to vote for the next person. That was a pause so you could smile. If you didn't catch that, it's okay. I'll revisit it, okay? But then he said in verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye? And I believe Haggai pointed his finger at him. You know, when he did that, because this was a personal thing. You're the one who said, it's not time to build my house. Well, how about you? How is it with you? Is it time for you to dwell in your cilled houses and this house lie waste? The cilled houses, that didn't mean it had a ceiling in it. They all had a ceiling. That was a house that had been decorated with all kinds of nice things. They had wainscoting walls. Y'all know what wainscoting is? Is that wainscoting where you build a little wall all the way around? I don't have any of those. I'd like to build me one. But they were just fixing those houses up really, really nice. And he said, oh, you just want to stay in your own little house and look good, and you leave mine alone. Is that what you're doing? They have to answer him, you know. He's not saying this stuff so they don't have to answer him. You know what he can do? God can get our attention. And if we don't listen real close when he says something and get back to him, he'll get back to us. And when he gets back to us, you're going to see how that works out for these folks. So he said, O ye that dwell in your cedared houses, and this house lie waste. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Does anybody here remember a message that I preached one time? Consider your ways. Probably it's not coming back to you right now. Just like most of the people I see that I've known for years and years don't come back to me. I say, I know you. I know you. Don't tell me. I know you. Yes, that's when it is. But the Lord said, consider your ways. Now, he didn't say that just to be bouncing words off the wall. He wanted them to take inventory of where they were. They were into their own houses, fixing them up, making them look good. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there wasn't a thing wrong with it. The problem was, and he says it right after that, he said, and this house lie waste. That was the problem, was that they were letting the house of God lie waste. Now, for the most part, we do a pretty good job of taking care of the Lord's house and the property that he's put in our hands. We have responsible people, and we do a pretty good job of taking care of things. Every once in a while, there's a few little things gets by that I catch because I'm one of those, peekaboo kind of people that sees all the little stuff. Y'all wondering what in the world I'm talking about. I can see your faces. We do a pretty good job of taking care of our property, but there are still things that we need to watch after. And you say, well, that's a trustee's job. The trustees are supposed to take care of that. Did you know that every one of us have a different set of eyes? You see things I don't see. There's nothing good or bad about that. It's just that you see differently than I do. And we all see differently. So when you see something that gets your attention that you wouldn't want a visitor to see, if they came in and you say, I think that needs attention, get in touch with a guy named Les and tell him that he needs to make sure that's taken care of. Now, if you're able to do whatever you see, you go ahead and take care of it. It's quite all right. And if it costs you a little money to do it, you just bring the receipt to Stacy and she'll give you back your money. Hey, like that. Can't beat that. Yeah, that was the cheapest job we ever had done. Cost nobody. It did. The penny was used, but the penny wasn't even ours. That was pretty good, I'm telling you. But when you see something, let somebody know it's okay. If you, it's not, you're not being mean to say, hey, that needs attention. If you see something that needs attention, say it. Okay. We did the bushes over near the road over there, and they're growing back out now, and our sign's being hit again. And I said something about it at the men's meeting, and Tom says, I'll get my landscaper out there, and we'll do that. And I thought, well, me and John and a bunch of us can get our weed cutters out there and do that, you know, and because I did them in the first place. And it was hard because they were really grown out. But let's get back to my story. So I got to thinking about it. Tom said he would do that. I think Tom needs to do that. He needs to feel wanted. It's hard for Tom to feel that way because they call him Mr. Gruffbox, you know. You know how to. Well, anyway, he's going to get his landscaper, and he's going to get him out here and get it done. So, John, forget it. ride your motorcycle. Okay. Here's what's happening from verse 3 on down is the very first few verses of this, we're going to see the burden that was on the people. But when we get down to the last three or four verses of it, we're going to see how God blessed the people. Burdens are a thing we're going to have to deal with. They are there. But if we deal with them the way the Lord wants, then we get the blessing. If we don't deal with them the way the Lord wants us to and tells us to, the burden gets worse. So he wants to bless us, and so let's do things the way he wants us to, okay? Okay, now let's get into verse 3 and 4 a little bit better. Is it time for you, he said, O ye to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? When they became free and came in and worked on the temple, you remember the people were angry at them, didn't want them to do it, and they had a beef with them, and they went to the government, the Persian government, and they said, we don't want this done. Well, governments back then were just like governments now. If you complain loud enough, they're going to take care of your complaint. They may never have messed with anything ever about what this is, but if you complain, they're going to take care of that complaint, because what they want is people to shut up. They don't want noise, okay? So they'll take care of a complaint. Well, what happened was this bunch of nosy people who didn't want the temple redone. And y'all remember some of the problems we had here with some nosy people. I'm probably saying too much on Facebook, but that's okay. I'm too old to worry about it. Anyway, they were fussing about it, and so they stopped the work. They got a stoppage on it, and the people, well, you know, when you stop something that people are already into, you set them up to fall right in line with the people who aren't doing anything, and they get lazy again, and they get to looking at their own house, and that's what happened here. They got to looking at their own house and started doing things around there, and boy, things were looking so good, they didn't want to go back down there and do that volunteer work, because they weren't getting paid to work on the temple. They weren't getting paid to work on their own house, except it was their property. But that's where this is coming from right here. So he says, and my house lie waste. And that was the big problem with them, the huge, huge problem. So they went back and forgot the temple, and they lost their sense of what was valuable. It's more valuable for us to take care of the Lord's work than it is for something that pays a salary. Because you see, what we get with serving the Lord, it doesn't have anything to do with money. It doesn't have anything to do with it at all. It is so valuable. Because what you're doing, you're laying up treasures in heaven. We're keeping the doors open for people to hear the gospel. And we keep a nice building so that people can come in and hear the gospel preached. If that's not the end result, we're wrong. If we're doing it just to make sure our church looks good, and we have people come in here and say, this is a beautiful sanctuary. I love this sanctuary. Not a big sanctuary, but it's a beautiful sanctuary, and it is. But that's not why we do it. We do it so that people can come in and feel comfortable, because the hearts of the people are making them feel comfortable, and to sit here and look around and see the natural beauty of it is good, but we want to win souls. And if we're not in it to win souls, we're wrong. So in verse 5, he says this, Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. That's what he wants us to do. If you could have asked them before this how they were doing, they would have said, oh, I'm doing really good. I'm doing pretty good. Well, no, I'm doing really good. My house is looking good. We've been able to remodel our house and add a patio to it. We've added another bathroom. We're getting ready to build a room on the back for all of our junk and stuff. And we're just doing a good job. Looks really nice. That's what they're saying. It looks really nice. What we've got in our homes looks really nice. And the Lord said, but what about my house? Consider your way. Consider what is valuable. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Now this wasn't by happenstance that these things are happening right here. I'm going to show you what I meant a little while ago when I said, if we do it like God says to do it, we don't have a problem. If we don't do it the way He says, the burden gets heavier and the blessing doesn't even show up. Amen? So here's what was happening. He says, ye have sown much, verse 6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Now this is the law. There are certain laws in this universe that we live in, and this is the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect. It's always lively. It's just that in this case right here, it is what he's talking about. He says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. They were eating. And they were sowing seed. They were doing the things right. But they were bringing in little, and they weren't eating enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you. Does this mean they couldn't have? No, they could have. He wasn't necessarily talking about them literally, physically, not having enough to eat and drink. What he's saying is, you're empty where it counts most. When he says for us to eat the Word of God, and he does, he says, I want you to eat it. I want you to digest it. I want it to become a part of your life. I'm telling you, he is talking about a physical thing here, but the big thing here is not the physical. The big thing here is the spiritual. We got folks who sit in churches on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night who are starving to death. And they're not starving to death because the gospel's not there at that church. They're starving to death because that's where they are. They're taking care of their own place, and they're not paying attention to the things of God. They come in and hear the gospel. They come in and hear the songs. They come in and do the things that we do religiously, but they walk away as empty as when they came. And that's our fault. Y'all know that, don't you? No. You clothe you, but there is none warm. Did he say none? He said none. You clothe you, but there is none warm. Well, that's not likely to happen physically. Somebody's going to be warm. What he's saying is, you're trying to stay warm, but you're not warm. Your life is not warm. You don't have a warmness about you when you go out to meet. If we're going to go out and win people, and we're going to set this thing up to where we're going to talk to some people, we got to go out warm. And the warmness comes from a heart that loves the Lord and loves the lost. When you love both of those, that's 220 heat. It'll warm your house real quick. And we want to go out and we want to warm some hearts because we have a heater inside of us that takes it out. He says, you clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. They earn the money. They're earning the money. And we do things, religiously speaking, we do things, but our bag's got holes in it. We're not putting it in the right place. Who in their right mind carries a bag around with holes in it? We do it because that's what our bag has. We're leaving the holes in it. Are you with me? I say that every now and then because I know some of you are thinking, and your faces are showing me that you're thinking about it. And some of you want to say amen, but you're not saying it. Amen. Thank you, Chris. So you put your wages in there, but you put it in a bag that's got holes in it, and it goes right out. And when you do things for the Lord, if you've got a bag with holes in it, and the only way to get rid of the bag with the holes in it is repent and get another bag. Yeah, a good one. Okay, look at verse 7. The Lord didn't give this up. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. What did he say? By the way, the Lord of hosts, they had a fear of the enemy there for a while. Well, the Lord of hosts means he is the Lord of all that's in heaven. Now, in heaven, he has armies. The armies down here are nothing compared to what God has in heaven, folks. He has a host of armies. That's where the real armies are. And when it says here, consider your ways, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I take it that the Lord of all, the Lord of eternity, the Lord of all knowledge, the Lord of all power, the Lord who is ever there, he's the one who's saying, you consider your ways because I'm trying to get your attention and you're not doing the right things and I want you to consider your ways because I have a blessing for you, but if you don't get it lined up, you're not going to receive the blessing. I want blessed. And that's, I'm not being selfish when I say that. I want his blessings. That's why he came. He blessed us with his son, first of all. And when we received his son, he blesses us every day of our life. But not only does he save us, he keeps us. And in his keeping, he blesses us. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Then he says, here I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to help them out. He said, you go up on the mountain. This hadn't come to them, evidently. He said, go up to the mountain and bring wood. We need some wood. You don't have to go down to the lumber yard. Just go up on the mountain there and cut what you need. Sometimes we need to go cut the lumber ourselves instead of going to the lumber yard. You say, why would you do that? For the experience of cutting the wood. I can tell you, it's a good experience. I've got a chainsaw, and I love to cut trees. I love it. If one's coming down, it's coming down because it needs to come down. I don't cut a good tree, it don't need to come down now. But if there's one that needs to come down, I love to watch that sucker fall. The experience of that. And he's saying, you go up on the mountain and you cut your wood and bring it back down here. We got a job to do. And we need to quit looking for the easy way out. This is a preaching session, I guess. We need to quit looking for the easy way out, gear ourselves up, get where we need to be, put our dukes up, and go into this thing and fight. You know, I was thinking about Jack. Jack's one of the best people I know back there. Jack, I'll say that right in front of God and everybody. You're one of the best people I know. And Jack is saying he has cancer. They just don't know what it is. Well, Jack's not somebody who will just sit down and forget it. And we hear this all the time. If you get cancer, you got to fight it. Well, I've got someone who fights. We know who does the actual fighting. But what it says, you don't give up. You don't give up. Amen? In fact, let me tell you this. This is a good little story. I was watching TV this afternoon before I went down to get Doris's TV started. She used the wrong remote. But I was watching, what's the name of that family? The old family that on MeTV, Waltons, yeah, Walton Mountain, up on Walton Mountain, the Waltons, and the name of this particular one was The Gift. Now, don't tell me y'all have ever forgotten what you saw and what you watched, and you'd say, what was that I watched? I know you have, but anyway, it's good to know the old preacher lost his mind. The Waltons, and the name of it is The Gift. I don't know if you can Google it or not, but if you can, you need to Google it. I wouldn't be afraid of bringing it in here on a Sunday morning if I could get it and just let people see it instead of me preaching. It's about death. And it's about a young boy. You might have seen it. It's about a young boy who has cancer, I believe. And leukemia, that's what it was. Isn't that a cancer of the blood or something? Well, anyway, they told him he had about a year to live. And so everybody just went all to pieces. And he didn't. And finally, his mom was saying, "Now, honey, don't you do anything today. You just stay right here." And he wanted to be outside playing with the rest of the kids. And he was a teenager. And she said, "You come in here, honey. You're exerting too much energy. Come in here." And he said, "Mom, let me alone. I'm 17. I'm not going to see 18. When he said that, my legs went numb. I mean, I felt a cold chill all the way down my body when he said, "I'm 17. I'm not going to see 18. And the whole family heard that. And that was the starting point of that. We need to fight things. And that young boy was trying to do it the best he knew how. And God will do the rest. He will. But here in this particular verse, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to quit looking for the easy way out. Let's do what we need to do. Go up on the mountain and bring the wood and build the house. Then I will take pleasure in it. You'll get pleasure from the experience of cutting the wood. He'll get pleasure from seeing that you mean business. And when you mean business, he says, and then I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And what's our real reason for serving him? Is to glorify him. And when he gets the glory, we get the satisfaction of knowing that our God in heaven is happy because what we did by faith. This is the best preaching I've ever heard. Look at verse 9. "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little." We need to be careful what we look for. We don't need to get our eyes set so high that we're missing what's right in front of us. We've had people leave our church in the last year or two because there were bigger churches with more money and more playthings for the kids. And, you know, bigger is better. You know, more things are better. Your kid may be wanting to see more playthings now, but when they get more into their teens and a little older, they're going to start changing their mind about what's valuable. And jumping gyms out here isn't what's valuable for your kid. Is there a problem with them playing on that? No, but do it for the right reason and do the right thing. There's more love in this building right here for the people that come to this building than any big church I've ever seen in my life. And you can't put a value on that. It is valuable. So, so valuable. Kids need to know that they're loved, not that they've got jumping jacks. I don't know if that's what they call them or not. But look at verse 9. "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home..." Wow. You looked for much, and you got little, and you brought it home. You could have brought much, I guess, but you brought little, because that's what you got. "And even at that," he said, "I did blow up on it." Wow. Can you see that? They brought it home and he says, "Let me see what you got." Now what you got? Why, he said. Boy, what a question. "Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste." He's telling them why he brought judgment. This is a judgment brought upon the people for what they had been doing. And he said, this is why I'm doing it. Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Not only are you fixing up your own, you're saying to somebody else, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? You know, getting people, other people's attention. Why don't we go out and bring people's attention to Jesus? If we want to bring some attention to somebody that'll do them some good, we can't do any better than bring their attention to the Lord. I can assure you that. Okay, let's go on down. Oh, by the way, I didn't do this. And I meant to do this. Can I go back and do it? And y'all know that I've not lost my mind. Deuteronomy 28. I don't know if we can get that on the board real quick. But Deuteronomy 28 and verse 38. I want to read this. Because this is what was happening in Haggai, and this is what was happening in Deuteronomy. Now listen to this. He said, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Now, see, he's given them what he did to make sure that the seed didn't grow when he's judging the people. He said, I set locusts up. I can talk to locusts. He said, locusts, you go out there and you pick up that seed they're putting down, because they're not going to get anything out of this. And the locust did what we don't do a lot of times, minded him and went out there and got it. Then he said in verse 39, thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, make them look really good, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Is that what's going on? Yeah. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil. Boy, was that an important one. We know how important anointing with oil is, don't we? Have people come to me and say, will you come and pray for me and anoint me for healing? I say, I sure will. I have my bottle of oil, and I head and anoint them and pray with them. We believe in anointing. They were into anointing with oil long before we ever thought about it. And that's what they did. He said, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. In other words, the fruit on the olive tree is going to just drop on the ground. You're not going to have it. I can cause it to drop. I can cause the worms to eat what's there. I can cause locusts to do it. Then he said in verse 41, thou shalt beget sons and daughters. This was tough. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. For they shall go into captivity. If I had a couple hundred kids, teenagers, stuff, I'd like to preach that message. I've never preached on that verse before. It came to me when I got into this and pulled that out. He says, you'll have sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. Why? For they shall go into captivity. Now, there was a captivity he was talking about, but in our world today, that's not what's holding our kids captive. We don't have an enemy that's taking our kids into captivity. You say, oh, but we got people in Russia. We got people in other countries they're holding captive. We got two or three people here and there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about millions of our kids. Millions of our kids who are held captive by drugs and alcohol. Trafficking. So many things have our kids in captivity. And you know what? This hurts my heart, because that was my brother. My oldest brother got into drugs and alcohol. And the last 5 years of his life, we didn't know him. He couldn't let us. He couldn't come around us. He had to be gone in 10 or 15 minutes after he got there, because he had to go get more drugs. it had him captive. And what it said here, that thou shalt not enjoy them, I would have loved to enjoy my brother Steve. I would have loved to have enjoyed him. He was a great guy. He was one of the most fun-loving people you'd ever meet. Drugs took him captive, and I couldn't enjoy him anymore. And if we're not real careful, we don't keep our kids close to us, and I mean close to us, don't give them a long rope. Don't give them a long rope. If you've got children to raise, keep a short rope on them. I don't mean you don't let them taste freedom. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you keep your eye on them. This old world is lurking around every corner trying to take your children. Whew. Let's go on. He said, why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Verse 10, therefore, since that's what I've just said, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew. Sometimes when it's we haven't had any rain and the ground's real dry, Les will call me and he'll say, boy, you know, things are really dry right now. And we had a lot of rain there for a while, but man, it's really dry right now. And it would be. But even when it's dry, you can go out early in the morning, and what do you see? You see the dew. You see, the Lord knows how to give us moisture. And I realize that dew is not a lifesaver. In a way, it probably is. But he gives us the dew. He says here, since this is where you are and you're taking care of your own stuff and forgetting mine, he said, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. In other words, nothing's bearing fruit because it can't get any moisture. I'm the one who stayed that. You say, well, what a terrible God. No, 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 no. It's the blessing for the people. That's the whole deal. Forget the fruit. Forget the tree. What he's doing, he's saying, listen, get on board with where I am, or you're going to miss the most valuable thing you ever got, and that is the blessings that come from me. Amen. And I called for a drought. This part you may remember of the message I preached on Consider Your Ways. And I called for a drought upon the land. That's where we normally think of a drought being. It's on the land. It dries the land up completely. And upon the mountains. We don't see mountains that way. Mountains are different. They're lower temperature. They can hold moisture longer in the mountains. It's a better place. But you see, the Lord can cause the drought in every place. He says, I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn. Now he's getting into the products. I called a drought upon the corn. I called a drought upon the new wine and upon the oil. And upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. He does a total job. When God does it, he does a complete job. And you know, the thing about it is, we can't do a thing about it. I started to say we're at his mercy, and then I thought, well, I'm glad I am. Yeah. Then, here comes the blessing. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Joshedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, what'd they do? It's beginning to happen. Now you can start seeing the blessing. Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Not only did they hear him, they feared him. They stood in awe of him. See, when you can neglect God, you're not standing in awe of him. When he don't have your attention, you're not standing there saying, whoa, God,
He is so huge. He is so powerful. That's not where you are. If you're neglecting him, he's nothing if you can neglect him. How can you neglect so great a salvation? How can you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? By the way, that verse of Scripture is not for the unsaved. That verse of Scripture is for the saved. How can you neglect what he gave you? Woo! That's good stuff. Verse 13. Then spake Haggai the Lord's message in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, what did he say? I want you to say it. Yeah, I am with you. Can you imagine you going through what they've just gone through right here, and the Lord coming in and saying, hey, now hang on here a second. I'm with you. I'm not against you. I may be trying to get your attention, and I am. But I'm not against you. I'm with you. Because he would say, if you're for me, you're not against me. And he says, I'm for you. I'm here with you. I promise you, I want to be here. Verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Now, if you stopped right there, y'all are still reading. I can tell you're still reading. Your heads are down. You can't fool me, Brenda. Get your head up. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Stop right there. Because he's in the spirit stirring business. Have you never wanted your spirit stirred? Huh? You know, in actuality, you're in charge of that. The Lord wants to stir up our spirit all the time. We just make it so that it's impossible for him to come in to our hearts and souls and stir us up. But here he says, the Lord stirred up the spirit in Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and, he's not stopping, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joshtek. He's stirring up. Joshtek was the high priest. His spirit needed stirring. My name's Dan Foster, pastor of Liberty Fellowship Church. My spirit needs stirring. I want to be stirred. I love it when God stirs up the spirit in this church and you can just feel it from the front to the back. The high priest and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. He's stirring everybody. That's a revival, wasn't it? You see, when everybody gets stirred, you can have revival. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord. It's amazing how that when you get folks stirred up and they get their mind on the Lord instead of on all their own stuff, you can get stuff done around the church. You can see souls saved. You can see new faces coming into the house of God, because then they're out there saying, hey, I want you to go to church with me. Do you know the Lord? If you'll come with me, I promise you it'll be one of the best things ever happened to you. Do we say those things to people? Or do we shirk, get down behind the seat? That brings up a little story. Way back, a long time ago, before seat belts. All cars used to have a bench seat. You know, there was no bucket seats. There wasn't a space in between the front seat. It was bench seats. And all the kids, well, there was five of us, and all of us were in the back seat. All five. We didn't get a third row van. There was no third row van. Oh, my mom had a work van one time that she took down all of Grandma's hedge and stuff with it. That's another story I can tell you sometime. But we didn't have a third row seat so everybody can have their space. Our space was what fannies could get in beside fannies. That was our space. And there was five of us back there. And when one of us did something that wasn't supposed to be done, what's one of the things you don't do? You don't hang on to the back of the front seat, for heaven's sakes. Where y'all been? Get off of that seat. Y'all never heard that before? Sit down back there. Well, when things got stirred up, you'd get down behind the seat. Didn't want to be seen because then you could be hit. Because believe you me, my dad had a 6-foot arm. He could drive with no hands. Y'all love the Lord? You love this? This is good stuff. I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. Let's get real. And the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They got to work. And when God gets our attention and stirs our spirit, we'll get to work. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month. That sounds pretty specific, doesn't it? Yeah. In the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, what happened? They did the work. They did. I like a job finished. Don't know exactly who I was talking to or what was going on, but when I'm doing a lot of talking with people, I'm sitting at the table in my little dining room there. And if you've ever been in my dining room before I take a big shop broom and sweep all the stuff off the table, so when I've got visitors coming, they won't see all the junk I've got laying around, and it looks pretty decent, you know. But anyway, that's where I spend my time, and I write notes every time. And I wrote down in the corner of my calendar the word finish. Finish. The only word I wrote down. Because that's how important it is that we finish. We need to finish. Let's don't let up. Let's don't give up. Let's start up. Ooh, that was good. Yeah. Let's start up and get it going. Get that spirit stirred and get it going. Okay, it's 7:01. God bless you. Bow your heads. God's good. He wants to revive us, folks, but we're not going to get revived by reasoning things out and taking psychology courses and stuff. We're going to get where we need to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to get where God can use us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time together here this evening. Thank you for Haggai. Thank you that you chose him to be your voice. And I thank you that he was true to you. And Lord, I thank you that in the latter part of that chapter, the people began to hear you and got back to work and finished the job. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, may we here at Liberty Fellowship get to a place where you can stir our spirit and we can get busy and see new faces, new people, people who need the Lord, people who need to be regenerated, people who need to be restored, people who need to be renewed. Lord, we have needs, but we're going to have to get busy to do it. And we praise you, Lord, for everything you've done. And I pray that as we leave here, we go out looking for people that you put in our way so that we can say to them, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And I'll praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.